folks, Joe McGee here at McGee Leadership. We're here today in Watertown, Thomaston, Connecticut at Leatherman's Cave. I'm joined by Patrick. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Sure, sure. And I also want to give you a copy of the remastered book,
Awesome.
Leadership Lessons Inspired by a Six-Year-Old. So today we're here, we really want to talk about working remotely for episode 7. Folks that work remotely, folks that work at home, some tips and techniques. So I want to ask Patrick a few questions about his experience. So tell me, what industry are you working in right now?
I'm in the IT industry for a major Fortune 500 company. Been in the industry for the last 8 or 9 years, roughly. I have been in my current position for about 4 or 5 years now, and I've been a remote worker for somewhere around 5 years also.
Excellent, excellent. All right, so we kind of answered question 1 and 2 that I had about how long you've been working remotely. Many have argued the work-life balance between personal life and home life kind of blended together. Mm-hmm. Kind of talk through that. How do you really, you know, balance that out and really separate those so they're not kind of together?
Yeah, and that's kind of, you know, there's a lot of pros. There's pros and cons to anything, and there's pros and cons to work at home. Although I think for most people, the pros outweigh the cons. But for me, you're exactly right. There's been days my shift ends at 4 o'clock, for example, and I'll log off and I'll walk away, and I'll hear an instant message ding or an email ding, and I'll log right back in and I'll address that. Whereas if I was in the office, my laptop would be in my bag and I'd be walking through the building to get to my car to leave for the day. So there is that. But at the same time, as far as, let's say, breaks are concerned, I'm entitled to a 15-minute break every 4 hours. Since I've been home, I don't take that break. In the office, you would, you know, see a coworker, hey, let's go get a coffee, hey, let's go get lunch, hey, let's chit-chat. So you don't have any of that, and that does kind of disconnect you from the office in a lot of ways. So I think it's important that, you know, as a remote worker, you're always available through email, through instant messaging, whatever other media you have. So that is a little challenging, but one of the pros is, for example, if you have a dentist appointment or a doctor's appointment, it's really flexible. I can just send an email, hey, I'm leaving for an hour for an appointment, I'll be back, and then I'll come back and I'll finish, you know, my shift, however many hours I need to work to hit my 8 hours for the day, I'll finish that up.
Excellent. Yeah, you kind of hit the nail on the head. My other quote was, is how do you stay focused, you know, the TV, distractions.
Yep.
You kind of hit on the nail on the head about, you know, taking breaks with coworkers, you're kind of isolated, you're at home.
Right.
You know, so I think there is some definitely perks and pros and benefits. Now, what about being productive at home? Some have argued that productivity goes down. Do you feel like you're as productive?
Probably more productive. You know, it goes back to some of my previous comments. You don't have those distractions. You know, a lot of people in the office are very social. You know, I think back when I was in the office, people would walk up to your desk, hey, how's it going? I haven't seen you in a while. And that's all well and fine. It's kind of networking. And, you know, you get disconnected from that. But I think the key is your personal work ethic. If you have a bad work ethic and you're always showing up late and you're always leaving early, you're going to have that bad work ethic whether you're in the office or you're remote. If you take it very seriously like I do, then you have a good work ethic and you take pride in what you do. When I'm on the clock, I'm on the clock. I mean, I treat it that seriously. I'm not going to, you know, watch Oprah while I'm working, you know what I mean? And then don't get me wrong, you know, you do need to kind of step away, like I said, about the breaks. I don't take the breaks, but I will admit, you know, I'll read the news article on my personal computer just to stay informed if I'm a little slow, things like that. But I certainly don't abuse it. Like I said, it comes down to your personal work ethic.
All right, excellent. That's great. Now, some other question I have is probably for you. You've been doing it for quite many years, as you mentioned. So, tell me, what is your most favorite thing about working remotely? What's your favorite? What's your favorite thing?
Time.
Time?
What I mean by that is, you know, when I was in the office, I had about an hour commute each way. So, if you work an 8-hour shift with your commute, that's a 10-hour day. Not to mention the cost of gas, the wear and tear on your vehicle. I'll give you an example. My shift starts at 7:30 a.m. I wake up at 7:15 a.m., I brew a cup of coffee, and I log on. I have no commute. So to me, you know, time is, my personal time in and outside of work is very important. I try to use my time as effectively as I can. I mean, we're all only on this planet for a limited number of hours, so you should spend those hours wisely. And I think that is the major benefit for me as an individual, is the time aspect. I'm get 2 hours a day back that I was spending commuting, and now that's 2 hours a day I can do a project around the house or do something fun or whatever I want to do, you get that time back. But you also save money. I mean, it's a win-win because you personally save money. You're not commuting, so you're not buying as much gas. You're not putting as much wear and tear in your vehicle, so you don't need to do brakes. You don't need to do oil changes as often, so you're saving money there. But it's also a win for the corporation, too, because they save money. In my corporate environment, last I heard, it was around $3,000 a year for a cube space that includes electricity, internet. I don't know how they calculate that, but that's what I've heard. So they get the cost savings on their end. And I think most managers in the corporate environment are pro work at home if they have a good team. I think the issue is when you have those micromanagers that are kind of control freaks and they need to kind of have their claws in everything. They don't want to let go and let their people work at home. But at the same time, that's the kind of manager that doesn't really motivate people to do better. It's the type of manager that kind of sucks the life out of you. And I've been really lucky in my department. My manager is probably one of the best managers I've had in any corporate environment. She is also a remote worker, works in a different state, and there's also some other members of my team that work remotely from other states. So I think if you have the right people with the right attitude and the right work ethic, it's a win-win for both the individual and the corporation and the team, because like I said, I'm probably more productive at home than I am in the office because you don't have those distractions and you just jump right in and do what you got to do for the day.
All right, that's great tips, and I hate to ask you this, but being you're so pro, what about on the other side of the coin? Any dislikes, anything unfavorable on your
end? The downside is you do feel disconnected. I mean, here we are. You don't get much more remote than this, right?
900 feet up, yeah.
But sure. This is, you know, kind of an analogy for a remote worker because this is, I'm kind of isolated, right?
You have internet connection, you're golden.
Yeah, exactly. But again, you know, that's an advantage too. You know, with VPN and our remote access tools, I can basically work from anywhere, not necessarily just my home. So that's a plus. But the downside is you kind of lose touch from your coworkers, you lose touch from the office, which depending on your role and your position, that could be good or bad. And in my position, it's not really a big deal. We're not a business side team or an IT side team, so we fix problems, we provide access, things of that nature. So we don't really need to be that connected. But on a business side team, you know, where you're making money for the company, you may want that face-to-face. So I think it comes down to the specific job function and,
sure,
and role. But for me and in my company, from what I've seen, it's been a win-win. But like I said about the work ethic too, you are going to have those people that are going to abuse it. You know, if you have a bad work ethic, you don't take it seriously, then you being a remote worker is probably just going to make your work ethic even worse than better. So I would say use caution. And I've seen people thrive and I've seen people abuse it. It is what it is, but it comes down to the person.
All right. That's great advice. One thing I was curious about is being in a remote worker, what about tools to do the job successfully? Do you think you have all the right tools? Is there anything missing?
I do. We have a lot of various systems and applications. You know, in my role, I'm basically a security administrator. So I call it looking under rocks.
Rocks right behind you.
Yeah, exactly. there's a lot of checks and balances I do in my team, and that's kind of what I call looking under rocks. You know, can you have this access?
Right.
Legitimate? Isn't this a legitimate request? Because it isn't always. And we do have all the tools to do that. We do have all the tools to do our job. One of the things my area does really well is we are very vocal. If there's something that slows us down or prevents us from doing what we need to do efficiently, or there's some type of issue, we are not quiet about it. Even though, you know, the majority of my team, I think we only have one or two people that are in the office, there's 10 or 11 of us on the team. We're very vocal about that kind of thing. So if there is an issue or we feel there's a need, we bring it up. Management, you know, we have management's ear, which is good because there's other teams where, you know, you kind of bring stuff up and you feel like it falls on deaf ears. But in my position, you know, management has our back. We have its ear. And that's good because they support us. You know, our management supports us. We support our management because they have our back, and it's kind of a win-win. So, and from my perspective, in my area, we're good. We have everything we need. The issue, I think, is if you're in a corporate environment and you're just starting to think about remote worker for cost savings or that type of thing, then maybe you won't have the right tools right out of the gate. You're going to have to try it and see how it goes. Maybe you'll run into issues where you have an application that works great in the office, but it doesn't work so good from a remote location, depending on your network configuration. So those are kind of the teething problems of it. But with the right people, you know, you can get through it. So.
All right. Yeah. My last question was, is there any tips about going into it? You kind of answered that a little bit in that last statement. The other thing I would want to say, though, my last final question is when you're communicating with people, obviously it's being remote, it's either going to be by phone, email, or chat.
Right.
In your opinion, what do you think is your favorite communication being in your remote worker?
Instant messaging, chat, probably by far. Don't get me wrong, I use email quite heavily. Since I've been a remote worker, though, my phone usage has dropped quite a bit. I do have a company-provided phone in my house with a corporate telephone number for my office, so if someone calls my office line, it rings at my home. But after 5 years of remote worker, everyone's kind of leaned towards IM and email. And the people I work with know that if they send me an instant message, I reply. And that goes back to work ethic. I mean, that's kind of a pet peeve of mine. If I send someone else an instant message and it says they're available and I don't get a reply for 20 minutes, I'm going to wonder, what are you doing? You know, and that's something I pride myself on, and my manager and my coworkers know that. They can IM me, and bam, I'm replying right then and there. So I think that's important, too. And the other thing that's important is if using instant message, make sure your status is accurate. If you're not physically sitting at your desk, it shouldn't say you're available. It should say you're away or you'll be right back.
Because it's not like they can walk over, you know, they don't see you. They have
and
no
at
idea.
The same time, too, I mean, again, it's not really a concern for me because of my work ethic. But you don't want a situation where your manager, your manager's manager, or maybe there's some critical issue that, you know, needs your attention. You don't want someone above you to IM you and then you don't respond. Because then they're going to, like I said, they're going to wonder, well, what are you doing? You know, I kind of pride myself on that, that people know they can IM me and I'm responding. And that's good because it's instantaneous, back and forth. And, you know, if you need to do a screen sharing session or get a little more info, sometimes I'll pick up the phone and call just so we can get through the conversation a little faster. I mean, chat is fast, but some people type slow. And that's kind of another one of my pet peeves. I type really, really fast. So, you know, if I see, you know, XYZ person is typing.
You might beat
typing,
them to it.
Typing,
are you going to wait? Do you usually beat them to it? Or
I usually beat them to it. Cause
hey, what's up?
Yeah, exactly. So
that's funny.
Or I'll be like, hey, what's taking so long?
Yeah, I'm the same way. I do about 70 words per minute, something like that. And, yeah, not looking, typing.
Yeah,
guy too.
But chat is great. There's also group chats. You can do screen sharing in it, whiteboard stuff. It's been a good experience. I do feel lucky that I've been able to be a remote worker for as long as I have. I hope to be a remote worker for another 5 years, but we'll see how it goes and see what the direction the company takes. But so far, so good. I'm enjoying it.
Good, good. Patrick, I thank you for your tips on that, and we do appreciate it. I want to change gears for a moment here. The sun has come out. It's really beating in my eyes right now, but that's beside the point. I'm also working on a new project, and you kind of know about it. We're working on a new publication called The White House is Fake. The website is, probably can't see it on camera, but www.thewhitehouseisfake.com. And you're actually in it. You're going to be helping out with the production team. You're going to be Sam, the DOT worker.
That's
so
right.
Tell the audience a little about your role as Sam. What is Sam doing, and what is his role in the project?
Well, I don't want to spoil your book, but I will say Sam is a Virginia State DOT worker who I'm playing with a DOT vehicle that will be decked out to represent a Virginia DOT vehicle. We'll be shooting some trailers, essentially, for the book as a promo. I don't want to give away, but let's just say Sam is doing some DOT maintenance on a highway bridge, and something spots his eye that he finds suspicious.
That's
we'll
good.
Leave it at that.
That's good. So thanks for coming down, Patrick. I thank you for coming on the show. Guys, you can find this podcast available at McGeeLeadership.com, and we're signing off in the middle of Leatherman's Cave. As you can see, I'm wearing my Jerry Rice jersey, the best hands in the NFL. Brought me here, made my way to 900 feet elevation. See you guys next time. Thanks, guys. And the vision
that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone. Turn my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking. People hearing without listening. People writing songs and voices never shared. And no one dared disturb the sound of silence. Fool said, I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer. Yeah.